with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. But with, here we go, the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Again, my title this morning is There Is Power in the Blood. Let me begin this morning by declaring that there is no subject as relevant and no theme as timely as this one today. This is one of the most important topics than anyone could ever have the privilege to address. Someone may say, well, I've heard that story before, but can I just tell you something, that you should hear it again and again and again, because this is the greatest story ever told. It's greater than Aesop's fables, who in the 6th century was known to bring out those moral truths through many of his great writings of short stories. It's greater than Aristotle's Athenian constitution, which covered the history and the politics of Athens up to 328 BC. It's greater than Plato's Republica that strived to define the nature of justice. This story is more profound than Shakespeare's almost 50 enlightening works. And it's more relevant than Mark Twain's commentary on American life. I'm speaking of the story this morning about the power that's in the blood of Jesus. Again, this is the greatest story ever told. I'm going to go slow this morning, but I want you to hear every word that's spoken. Blood sacrifices have been practiced in many cultures and civilizations through history. The rituals of the people known as the Incas and the Aztecs in South America involved blood sacrifices. And here in North America, many of the Native American Indians practiced blood sacrifices. African religions and Egyptian religions employed blood sacrifices, believing that it would appease their deities and obtain a fruitful harvest. And throughout Europe and Asia and the Middle East, including the Greeks and the Romans and the Hindus and the Babylonians, the Canaanites, the Philistines, and the Jews, all practiced blood sacrifice. Some cultures also performed human sacrifices. The idea behind sacrifice was the surrender of life. Blood had to be drained. And the idea of sacrifice was the pouring out of life. And because life is in the blood, blood had to be shared. In many religions, the devotees often consumed sacrificial blood. But understand, Almighty God, in addition to prohibiting human sacrifices, He barred the Jewish nation from consuming animal sacrificial blood. Why? Because life is in that blood. Blood is life, and it must be allowed to return to the God of creation, the God of the universe who gave it. After Adam and Eve, who represented humankind, had sinned against God in the Garden of Eden and was therefore condemned to die, God performed then the very first sacrifice, and He obtained animal hides and blood to cover the physical and spiritual nakedness of Adam and Eve. God's covenant with the Jewish nation required the shedding of blood through animal sacrifices. The lives of millions of animals surrendered under the Jewish blood covenant were presented on the altar to satisfy the demands of divine justice. However, we read in the Bible the blood of bulls and goats, sheep and turtle doves failed to make a permanent and acceptable transformation in the human condition. Humanity was steeped in sin. Humankind had sunken to the depths of degradation. And so seeing the sinful condition of the humankind, in Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse 5, we find then where it says, "The Lord saw great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time." Verse 6 says, "The Lord regretted that He had made human beings on the earth, and His heart was deeply troubled." Verse 7, "So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race that I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them." How sad that it got to that place, that God regretted ever making mankind. So we see then God hated sin back then, and guess what? He hates it right now. Sin is repugnant to God. Why is that? Because we have to remember that He is immaculate, He's flawless, He's perfect, and He's good. He is righteous, and He dwells then at the utmost height of glorious purity. His very nature resists and repels sin. However, this pure and holy God then continually seeks a relationship with His human creation. But sin, remember, sin has separated humanity now from their Creator. Sin separates us from Almighty God. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 declares this, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God." Listen now, humanity was doomed and it was cut off. It was condemned and alienated from God for all eternity. But blood was shed. Blood was shed from the foundation of the earth. Blood was shed in the mind of God. Blood was shed from the very heart of God. Blood was shed for the lives of men and women. The blood of Jesus has been shed, and in His blood, guess what? There is power. And that's what I'm going to talk about for a few more minutes. Let's see some examples of what the blood has the power to do. If you got a pencil and paper, you might want to take some notes. There is power, number one, in the blood to redeem. The word redeem means to buy back. And guess what? We really belong twice to God. We are His first by creation, and then by redemption. The word redeem literally again means to buy back. God created us, but then He bought us back with the blood of Jesus. We are redeemed by His blood. Again, what did our text say in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 and 19. "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and defect." And then over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, Paul declares this, that in Him, speaking of Jesus, we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And then Revelations comes along, and here John writes this. Here's what he proclaims. Revelations 5 and 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou was slain and has redeemed us to God by Your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So we see we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Stay with me this morning for a little while. Number two, there is also power in the blood of Jesus to justify. The word justify means to declare righteous, to make just as if it had never sinned. Understand with me, God sees our sinful condition, and He convicts us of sin. Aren't you glad He does? He doesn't condemn us, but He convicts us. He finds us guilty. And then instead of pronouncing the sentence that we so deserve on us, He declares us righteous. Why? Because of the power in the blood of Jesus. So we are justified by His grace. Here's the scripture, Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. So, there is power in the blood to redeem, and there's power in the blood to justify. And then number three, the power in the blood of Jesus to sanctify. The word sanctify means to purify, to cleanse, to make holy, to consecrate, and to dedicate to God. Remember, because of the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, now all of humanity was polluted, contaminated, and defiled by sin. And in the Jewish temple, there was a large basin called the laver. And the Jewish high priest was required to wash his entire body from the water that was in that laver. This washing then was symbolic of sanctification and cleansing and purification from the things of the world. The Bible identifies three agents of sanctification, namely the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the blood of Jesus. And I'm telling you, as we go through the Word of God, as we're doing as a whole church body, I'm telling you, that Word, if you don't realize it, is washing over our minds, Brandon. It's doing a work in us. The blood of Jesus then was shed to cleanse humankind of the impurity of sin and to make us clean in God's eyes. Here we go. Hebrews 13 and 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify His people with His own blood, suffered outside the gate. In other words, He was crucified outside the gates of Jerusalem. So there is power in the blood to redeem, to justify, and to sanctify. And then number four, there is power in the blood to give peace. Man, we've sang about that this morning. And if you ever want to hear a good word, Brother Gary brought us a word quite a while back on peace. You didn't forget it after he got through. We have peace through the blood of Jesus. We know our world is filled with turmoil and chaos and getting worse by the day. We see it on the daily news. We read it on social media. Natural disasters then have thrown this planet into convulsions. And along with that, guess what? So has political instability, ethnic and racial unrest, military conflicts, trade wars, family disruptions, and senseless violence. And you have to know, these problems can only be solved by the blood of Jesus. No new president can solve any of these problems. If every human being then would just accept the Prince of Peace, His blood will infuse our lives with His peace. His blood then will also reconcile or bring Adam's fallen race back into a right relationship and a proper relationship with Almighty God. Here we go, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. He made peace through the blood of His cross by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, Paul is saying, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And guess what? That's why the devil fights so hard. Because he does not want the earth to have peace. Nor does he want men and women to come to know the one who brings peace. So, there's power in the blood to redeem, to justify, to sanctify, to give peace, and to reconcile. Number five, there is also power in the blood of Jesus to bring us near to God. Understand something with me, that sin has separated humanity from a holy God. And there are many amazing attributes of God. Throughout the book of Leviticus, God says to Moses and the people of Israel, "Be holy, for I am holy." Our sinful condition kept us far away from God. But the power in the blood of Jesus brings us near to God once again. So here we go, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. I'm not bringing you anything that's not backed up by the Word of God. Here's what it says. Paul writes this to the saints at Ephesus in the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus, of Christ." Again, there's power in the blood to justify, to sanctify, to give peace, reconcile, bring us near. And number six, there is power in the blood of Jesus to help us overcome and win at life. No one wants to be a loser. I don't believe there's anybody in here that wants to be a loser. Everyone likes to win. We know people win at sports and also financial gains and court cases and political campaigns and also wars. However, you have to understand this morning, there is one battle that no one can win by himself or herself, and that is the battle over Satan and sin. Only through the power of the blood of Jesus can we win this particular battle. You can't win it on your own. You'll lose every time. Revelations 12 and verse 11 says this, "And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony." There is power in the blood. Power in the blood to redeem, to justify, to sanctify, to give peace, reconcile, bring us near to God, and overcome. And the last one, number seven, the blood of Jesus covers our sin. When an individual purposes in his or her heart to come to God in repentance and in faith, here is what happens in the Spirit. We sing about it. The very God of the heavens and the earth pours the red, ruby, rich, cleansing blood of Jesus upon that person's immortal soul. We have an immortal soul living in a mortal body. And as a sea of white covers the snow-capped mountains, so a sea of the red blood of Jesus washes and covers the mountains of sinfulness of a life that has been mired in shameful evil. The night of despair now and darkness is over. The morning of rejoicing has come. Why? Because blood has been shed. I hope you're getting this morning. Blood has been shed to make the vilest sinner clean. The blood of Jesus has been shed to destroy the perils and the pains of life. The blood of Jesus has been shed to wash away the filth and the slime and the squalor of sin. The blood has been shed to rescue the sinner from the error of his ways. The blood has been shed to snatch the ungodly from slipping into the flames of a devil's hell. Blood has been shed to restore humanity back into fellowship with a loving God. This morning, I have come to remind you and tell you that His blood has been shed for you and me so we can be able to live an overcoming life right here and right now. And then live with Him in a new heaven and on a new earth for all of eternity. The blood of Jesus has been shed, and there is power in that blood for us to be able to walk in victory and success on a daily basis. Until He returns for us, His church, we're called His bride. Just know the bridegroom is coming back very soon for His bride. The blood of Jesus has the power then to cleanse the soul of the adulterer. The blood of Jesus has the power to change the lifestyle of the gays and the lesbians and the bisexuals and the transgendered. And yes, don't laugh, but the furries also. And if you don't know what a furry is, I'll tell you after church if you need to know. The blood of Jesus has the power to heal the heart of the prostitute. It has the power to save the gangster. It has the power to save the human trafficker. It has the power to transform the terrorist. It has the power to melt the hearts of the cold-blooded murderer. It has the power to transform the thinking of a perverted mind. It also has the power to deliver the self-righteous, to deliver the drug addict and the alcoholic. The blood of Jesus has power. It's greater than any nuclear power. It's greater than any magnetic power. It's greater than any electric power. It's greater than any atomic power. It's greater than any economic power. The power is greater than any demonic power. The power is greater than the power of any disease. The power is greater than any power of fear that might be out there. The power is the blood or the power is the power that is in the blood of Jesus that has been made available for every person, every one of us who will simply believe who Jesus is and who will trust Him. Sister Judy, there's your word. Brandon, we mentioned it earlier, talking about trust. Sister Judy told me before church, the Lord put the word trust on our heart. If we will simply believe who Jesus is and trust Him with our lives and accept what He did at Calvary. The blood is for you. Jesus declared it this way when He said in John chapter 6, verse 53, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you." And understand, that's done as born-again believers. We do that in the natural through communion as we partake of the bread and the juice, representing His flesh and His blood, to remember particularly what Jesus did for us at Calvary. Amen. And that's going to be next Sunday. We're going to do that in our service. Hallelujah. The writer of the Hebrews announced it to chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God." Did you know that's one of the devil's tools, is to get us away from thinking about the blood? He wants us to do all those works. He wants us working as hard as we can. Yeah. That way our mind is off of the cross and off of the blood. Amen. I'm telling you, there's something that happens when the devil hears you around your house. "Lord, I plead the blood over me today. I thank you. I plead the blood over my children. I plead the blood over my grandchildren." The devil says to his imps, "There's no use fooling with them today. We can't get to them through the blood." John confirmed it and said this in John chapter 1 and verse 7. "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." The songwriter declared it when he wrote, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." So yes, this morning, the blood of Jesus has power. The blood of Jesus has saving power, delivering power, sanctifying power, forgiving power, transforming power, healing power, restoring power, redeeming power, justifying power, reconciling power. I'm going to make sure you don't forget it. You're going to think about that when you leave this house today. So we can see then on this Palm Sunday, there really is power in the blood of Jesus. And my question to every one of us is this. Have you been washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of Jesus. Just know, it will wash away the sin of hatred and lying. It'll wash away the cheating and the racism. It'll wash away that spirit of backstabbing and backbiting and gossiping and any and all idolatry. It does not matter what kinds of sin you have committed. God still loves you. You need to know that this morning. God still loves you the way you are. Yet He loves you enough not to let you stay the way you are. He wants to wash away your sins. In closing, Brother Galen, come on down. In closing, the Bible tells us that God created the heavens and the earth, and He placed the first humans, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. These two people enjoyed sweet daily fellowship with a good God. They enjoyed fellowship with one another and with all the plants and the animals in that perfect Eden environment. The temperature was perfect so that they did not even need clothing to protect them from the elements. God gave them then one restriction, just one, and that was not to eat fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You have to understand that they already knew what good was, because the Bible says they communed with God and He's a good God. But if they ate of the fruit of that particular tree, their eyes then would be open to evil, to the very opposite of good. And God told them when they did that, they would surely die. At some point in time, they were tempted by Satan, who came in the form of a serpent. We see then that their heart desired the fruit more than they desired God. The fruit became an idol so that they longed to partake of that fruit. And eventually we know they ate the fruit and they fell into sin. That's the origin of sin. Their lives changed immediately because of their disobedience. They were then made to leave the Garden of Eden. Adam now would have to toil the ground and labor by the sweat of his brow. He would have to labor hard for their food. And now Eve would have to experience great pain in the birth of any children she might have. They then became subject to sickness and disease. The environment changed. It became harsh with seasons of freezing and blistering heat. The earth then opened itself up through earthquakes. The charged atmosphere now formed cyclones, and the animals turned violent and fierce. The bugs and the insects became destructive, and the ground grew thorns and thistles. Adam and Eve became mortal. Before then, they were immortal. But through their sin, they became mortal again. And now they were doomed to die. And worst of all, their descendants down through the ages, who is all of us, were separated from God. Why? Because of their sin. But thank God. Can you just tell it? You say, thank God. Thank God that through His love and His mercy to us, He orchestrated a plan to rescue all of humanity from sin and from the fall. God first killed animals and covered the naked bodies of Adam and Eve. And in doing so, He shed the blood of the animals. And that blood symbolized the blood of Jesus. And that would be shed for all of Adam and Eve's descendants, all the way to now and in the future. So about over 2,000 years ago in Israel, God sent His only Son, Jesus, into the world. Understand, that was His very flesh. He was born miraculously to a young virgin woman named Mary and lived on this earth almost 33 and a half years. At age 30, He began preaching and teaching to those who would hear about the kingdom of God and about God's love. Some believed him, but others did not. Oh, the religious folks hated him for bringing change to their set ways. They killed him by crucifying him on a wooden cross. And as he hung on that cross, suspended between heaven and earth, the just dying for the unjust, that he might bring us back to God. He freely gave his life for you and for me. This morning, understand there's no greater love than this, that a man would give his life to save another. When Jesus died, God gave us his very best. In the Bible, we find some things, some scriptures that is written. It says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none that does good, no, not one. All we like sheep are have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own ways." And the Bible also says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with us." I'm almost through. And of course, we have John 3:16. Many of us could quote that today. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that's whosoever," that means us, you and me, "that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So we have to understand this morning that humanity is like a person trapped in quicksand. And the harder one tries to get out on their own, the deeper down he or she goes. But Jesus has come to rescue them from that pit of sin. The danger then with continuing to live in sin is that it will eventually drag you down into the fires of hell, where the Bible says the flames are not quenched and the worms that eat the bodies of those that are there never die. Listen, don't be fooled, as there won't be any partying in hell. It'll be too late then at that point for redemption. So to be rescued, God has made it so very simple. So very simple. Admit that you're a sinner and that you need God to save you from the power of sin and eternal damnation in the fires of hell. "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross. Save me." Then believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross of Calvary in your place as a blood sacrifice. Ask him then to come into your heart to live. "Lord, come into my heart. I'm sorry for my sins. I'm a sinner. Save me. Come into my heart." Confess then that you have accepted him as Jesus, that Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Just know God wants to save you, and he wants you to have a relationship with him. He wants to restore you to fellowship with him. He wants to make you twice his child, first by creation and now by redemption. If you will, let's all stand together this morning. And I would like for us all, if you don't have to leave, for just a few more minutes, I'd like for us all just to gather down here to the front. Just gather across the front. We're not pulling any surprises on you today. We're not going to knock you down. Thank God for His blood. What would we do without the blood of Jesus? As you're coming, and as we stand here then together, I want us then by faith and with confidence and with boldness to approach God's throne of grace through the blood of Jesus. And as you do that by faith, we're standing here as if we're before the throne of God. By faith, in boldness, and in confidence, knowing that today we can receive our own deliverance and our own victory for ourselves. From every satanic power that has been weighing us down, that has kept us tied down, that's kept us weighted, and from everything then that is contrary to God's plan and His purpose for our lives. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? And so I want to pray a prayer over all of us this morning as you're standing here. And as I pray this prayer, I want you to acknowledge that this is for you, because it's going to be for me too, by simply saying amen. And what does the word amen mean? So be it. So be it. And if this applies then to you as it will to me, then you receive it in the name of Jesus. You receive it by faith, and then you go from this place today knowing that He is doing something new in your life. He's doing a new work in your life. Determine that as we go. Okay, as you're standing here, just close your eyes, and I'm just going to pray this prayer. It won't be long. Father, through your precious blood of your Son, Christ Jesus, I'm asking you to purge me and cleanse my life from every sin. Amen and amen. Lord, I thank you. So be it. And Lord, by the power that is in the blood of Jesus, let every evil mark, every handwriting, every curse, and evil covenant be completely wiped out of my life. Wipe out every mark of failure, every mark of loss, every delay, every rejection and stagnation. Lord, I say amen to that. So be it, Lord. Do that in my life. And Lord, as Abel's blood spoke from the ground where Cain had buried him, let the blood of Jesus speak for me concerning every good thing, every blessing, every opportunity meant for me that has been buried or suppressed by the enemy. I say amen. Do it so, Lord. So be it. Father, let the blood of Jesus free me from every evil hold and from every chain, and release me now into the fullness of my God-ordained destiny. And I say amen to that. Do it in me, Lord. Break every chain, everything, God, that holds me back. And Father, I ask for comprehensive protection. That means to cover everything in my life. I ask for healing and deliverance. Cover my life, cover my family, and everything that concerns me in the blood of Jesus. So I say again right now, amen. So be it in my life. Father, let the life and power that is in the blood of Jesus deliver me from every stubborn, repeated, and continuous problem in my life that wants to hang on to my being. I say, so be it, Lord. Let it be broken today. Father, let your blood of protection keep all evil arrows that are flying in the air far away from me. Let it keep sickness and disease, accidents and tragedies far away from me. I declare Psalm 91 over my life. And today I plead the blood of Jesus over me. Can you say amen? So be it. And now, on the authority of the Word of God, I say, let no one, no demon, no evil power, no force continue to trouble me. For I bear the mark of Christ. I bear the mark of divine protection. I bear the mark of favor. I bear the mark of honor. Amen and amen. One last thing, and I'd like for you to say this declaration after me. Would you say it this morning after me? I declare and decree.
I declare and decree.
Because my life is covered. In the blood of Jesus. I am a victor and not a victim. I am a winner and not a loser. I am an overcomer. And I am determined to see your plans and purposes fulfilled in my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, and so be it. Would you worship the Lord with a hand clap this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, darling. Thank you, darling. How many know God is good? Can you determine that the Lord has done something in your body and in your spirit today? And He'll continue to do it if you've surrendered your life to Him. Then you can apply that blood. That blood's been applied. I plead your blood in Jesus' name. I love you. If you need prayer, additional prayer, we're going to be right here to pray with you. Don't forget next Sunday, next Wednesday night. It's going to be good. Next Sunday, if you want to be baptized or rebaptized, we're here. We'll do it. Just come talk to us. Don't plan for a good time. Amen. Invite somebody to be here. Amen. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to be scared of. Even though Brother Gary might roll across the front, you never know.